program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
He from before me stepped and made me pause. Lo, he exclaimed, lo this and lo the place where thou hast need to arm thy heart with strength.
The southern areas are uninhabitable.
Even smugglers won't venture there.
Oh my God, you blew it up! You really did it! Damn you all to hell!
Meanwhile,
at Kennebunkport,
Roger drove us up in his Jeep.
And suddenly things turned ugly.
This is where the Nazi party held their rallies, isn't it?
Heck.
They all came here. Hitler, Goebbels, the whole crew. Thousands of them.
Sergeant Goebbels has found me. There we are. The Lion's arms on the right.
I wrenched my mind away from it and said, did Lord Bush happen to know and tell you what it was that young George Bush did that has tied the whole family into knots?
Have you no decency?
Yeah, you don't say that on the radio with these boys.
He pressed his fingers against his eyelids again.
The president had obviously upset his game plan.
Why should I tell you? Because we have to unravel the strings that work with Bush family.
Oh, that.
They all know things about each other that they use as threats. They blackmail each other to make them do or not do what they want. And as part of that, they pay people off to keep the Bush crime family name clean. Yes, they do.
Petlov Institute.
The Freedom Doctrine is being replaced by the Bush Doctrine.
The honor and the pleasure.
The plan was now firmly set.
Want to play 20 questions?
Sure.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is he famous?
Yes.
Is he under 40?
No.
Over 40?
Yes.
On television?
Yes.
On television now?
Yes.
Is it Jeb Bush?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Congratulations, son. How do you feel? Like Captain Idiot in Astounding Science Comics.
That is one who has devoted his life to the service of his country.
You did this, Mother.
One who has been...
You organized this disgusting clearing service.
Darling, I'm going to write you, but we've been in the most frightful mess the last few months. I can't
this
help
stand out as
all
the
right, all right, let him
that's
through.
No that's frightful.
Enough now.
Bye-bye,
that's enough, I say.
Jeb shut the door behind him.
May I take this thing off my mother?
Gracious! I should bust a cap in your ass!
She tackled him, held him down, and punched him in the testicles.
Oh, you crazy bitch! What is the matter with you? You look as if your head were going to come to a point in the next 13 seconds.
A cold foreboding curled within Jeb's gut.
You don't need me here.
And he was sulking. And he sank a little deeper, his lower lip pouting angrily.
You and Father will make all the decisions.
Tough. His father was slightly disappointed.
Just for once, could we please put aside our differences and get on with the business at hand?
Without leaving the recliner, the ex-president cursed the hurricane for bringing him such misery. This f***ed up hurricane, his father said, woefully.
Ooh-wee!
The governor of Florida said,
I'm my idiot of a brother.
Shut up, Jeb.
Comey's name.
Watch your tone, son. The old man's eyes were large and scary.
Yes, that's right. Your dim brother.
He muttered to no one through clenched teeth. Yes, his terrible sucko son, George.
It's great. Just great. Couple of $1 million in oil under that lake, and you stand by and let your stupid brother raise fish in it.
With every passing moment, the creep was getting farther away.
The moron never ceases to amaze me.
The ex-president drained his chivas and stood up. The governor of Florida gazed expectantly at his father.
And what part am I going to be playing in all this?
You need to get your hands dirty, Poindexter.
No way. You were just kidding, right?
You got it. A bullet in the brain at high noon.
Dad, I don't believe this. It was inconceivable that the governor would be cooperative because resistance was in the man's blood. I just don't believe it. His father was more than slightly disappointed.
So I told him
that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him upright? Take your place on the great mandala as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life."
Often these father-son madnesses disintegrated into sulking and tears,
and ended with protesting, speaking out, hectoring in every way possible.
Until the elder George relented.
"This is most disappointing. It seems you are the only one who can wield the sword.
I cannot inherit my father's legacy until the spell on this fang is broken. And the only way to accomplish that is with the Tetsaika."
For me, complacency and danger went hand in hand.
The old man's eyes were jumping in their sockets.
He was going to have his revenge now if it killed him.
I knew that at last divided families might be reunited.
The elder George gazed expectantly at the governor of Florida, Jay.
What?
How about it? The governor's movie star smile flagged.
"It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no me this I know. It ain't me. It ain't me, 'cause I know. Fortunate one."
"Why me?"
"You know how to get him quiet. You go in. Find the president."
"President of what?"
"Shut up, Gary.
That's not funny."
"Oh, you're right.
It's funny because it's true.
I'm making you an offer. Bring him out in 24 hours, and you will be president."
"Bullshit."
"So I'll take that as a no. You won't do this for me."
"I'll think about it."
"Think hard."
"I'm thinking about it."
"No time.
Call me Snake."
"Shut up, Jerry."
The ex-president's eyes were sickening, shot with pain and hangover.
"Give me an answer."
"The answer is no."
"Is that your answer?"
"Call me Snake."
"Shut up, Jerry."
"Damn. No more Snake.
I'd rather not ask the obscene motive for this."
"We're at war, and it will get worse and worse until every man, woman, and child in this country will have to stand up and be evil."
"Shut up with that, mother. Shut up."
"Okay, you son of a bitch. If you don't, I'm gonna kill you, okay? I've killed before, and I will kill again."
This conversation was vintage Barbara Bush, strong and principled, and reflected the friction she felt with an emotional kind of guy.
"Please, cut me some slack here, will
you? If you don't, I'm going to kill you. You came out of my womb, and I'll stick you right back in my womb."
The world's politicians could learn from her. The clearest of brains under the waved white hair.
"My mother is a terrible woman. A terrible, terrible woman."
"Well, you're going to look like an even bigger idiot if you don't get in there and do exactly what you're told."
"I'm sick of you and everyone else telling me to run. I'm not running."
He tried to back away.
"Oh, Jesus!"
But it was too late to back away.
"While I was lying there, afraid to move, absolutely helpless, there she was, with the razor blade in her hand." "My mother.
My friend.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to know,"
he said.
"You think your life's a mystery?
That's enough. I don't want to hear it."
And like a child, put his hands over his ears.
And suddenly,
"Why don't you pass the time by playing a little solitaire?"
"All right, all right."
"She won, of course. She always does. I could never beat her. What were we saying? Oh, yes, my mother."
But worst of all was the disgrace.
"You're an abomination."
"What are you talking about, man?"
"Photographs. Take some of the mystery out of it. Male models. Mexican circus performers.
Japanese criminal. French head waiters. Turkish wrestlers.
Bunch of douchebags.
Astral psychiatrists.
Oh my God!
If the threat of disclosure could still be applied to him, he would now do, I reckon, whatever the family told him.
Taking it again. Taking it again. Well, now we ought to be mad at the government, not mad at the people. Taking it again. Again. Taking it again. I mean, yeah, what are you going to do?
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another.
I guess I go in one way or the other.
Normally conditioned American. Trained to kill, then to have no memory of having killed.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the harm?
Okay.
Without memory of the deed, you cannot possibly feel guilt. Nor will you, of course, have any reason to fear being caught. Having been relieved of those uniquely American symptoms, guilt and fear, he cannot possibly give himself away.
What?
An outwardly normal, productive, sober, and respected member of the community. And I should say, if properly used, entirely police-proof, the brain has not only been washed, as they say, but it's been dry cleaned.
I thought he was going to die laughing. We can do that.
I do.
Her face was deathly white. Her mouth stretched in a grimace, like a hideous smile.
Yes, but George.
George?
Yes, old Marshback George.
She wants me to go.
He'd committed himself.
They know I can do this. That's what they feared the most.
Your brother did not have the power to break the spell. The fang that does possess the power is the one passed on to you.
You used me to break the seal?
Oh, now, Jay, you getting out of hand, son.
The more personal contact you make, the better.
Who cares?
He appeared plussed.
What?
He appeared nonplussed.
There's a car waiting for me downstairs.
Go now. And I will be consoled.
I'm going to beat that vile, slandering son of a numbskull to a bloody pulp.
Go now, with your fair speech. He is lost.
We don't know where he is.
Find him.
I'm a little reluctant to, for some reason.
I keep telling you not to think.
Then I have to grab a hold of it and...
You're very, very good at a great many things, but thinking, hon, just simply isn't one of them.
The answer is,
I don't know what's open up a stupidity division. They know who they get to lead it.
This one was one of the governor's closest advisors.
That communist?
And I said that 100 times. And don't even suggest that.
He's not a communist, is he?
It's always been so.
He's not a communist, Mother. As a matter of fact, he's a Republican.
It's a relief valve.
Just like United States Army.
Oh, God, I hope not.
There are exactly 207 persons who are known by the Secretary of Defense as being members of the Communist Party.
Oh, my goodness, Ivan. I'm stunned.
It's pathetic.
What a moment.
How bogus.
His fellow soldiers, did they feel the same way toward him?
The men loved him, sir. Why shouldn't they? He saved their lives.
Good
satire. It isn't as if he's hard to like. He's impossible to like. In fact, he's probably one of the most repulsive human beings I've ever known in my whole, all of my life.
Here.
Probably, yes. Not really.
Intelligence officer. Stupidity officer is better.
When intelligence doesn't work, the military knows that.
Hey, show some respect, my dad. Some more.
And I don't think it's good public relations to talk about waiting on even if he is an idiot.
Listen, Rummy, I'm going to say it plain and simple. Where'd you pitch the hoop? Is some blind tiger jerking suds on the side?
I've used passion.
You did what?
I've used passion.
Oh, Dad.
tool of the military.
Oh, absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
You know, I can't go any farther in talking about it.
Well, at least you can admit it. That's the first step towards recovery.
Cheney.
You got a hangover?
I'm a drunk. I don't know nothing about how I do anything.
It was an obvious ploy to get out from under the controversy he created, but
he couldn't duck responsibility for the gunshot accident.
We've had that buried for years.
Yes, sir.
Who is that?
Change.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep forgetting that.
You have been a good companion to my son, Tim.
be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
In any event, it was an amazing performance.
Here's my plan. They ain't never seen organs like this!
There's a possibility we could lay the scandal on him.
Yeah, but he didn't know anything about that little deal.
You can always make it appear that he did.
The rhetoric was beginning to soften, to the consternation of many of his hardline subordinates.
How do you expect your son to respect the nation's history if you don't? That kind of ignorance is dangerous.
But I thought that danger was remote.
Oh, yeah, right.
Naturally, we'll have more on this story as soon as it develops. We now return you to the president's address, already in progress.
To begin the ground war, the military wanted to shoot Dick Cheney.
Let's go hunting, boys.
Grab me a towel, will you, Carl? Nobody's got to know. And I'm lost in this useless pile of words while my mind's gone blank. And China says that maybe I'll be more likable now. Things that once were men, they're not dead yet, just horribly mutated. Trailer parks and in front of
Chip relaxed a little.
Well, gentlemen, if you ask me, this whole thing's been a real coup. Funny thing, isn't it? Everyone thinks I'm this idiot, but nobody knows it was all just a big facade. Who's the idiot now?
No problem.
Which nobody can deny.
The ex-president looked guardedly at the governor.
You're a guy.
Doesn't mean shit to me. Give me the paper.
When you come out.
Before.
I told you I wasn't a fool.
Call me Snake.
It's already been discussed, Mr. President.
Really? Well, now that I think of it, there is an extra bonus to this. I either get the son of a bitch I hate,
good to see you.
Come or the on. Son of a bitch I really hate. I'll do it.
Yeah! Up until now, we've been fighting him on his terms. But I propose an invasion. We've got to fight him over there by the swing set so we don't have to fight him here at the sandbox.
Here, here.
This is my legacy to you, son. The greatest wealth in the universe. Woo-hoo! The never-ending struggle to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never lied to you, son.
There's more to it, isn't there?
I will give you what you need for the job. You can start right away. But remember, don't be curious, or you'll get into trouble.
But in order to stand up to them, we need some time to plan our counterattack.
I don't know, Carl. That's tricky stuff.
You must wait until you're at least as powerful as your father.
No chance. I can't stand sitting around here.
But
I don't need your excuses. I'm going back there.
Don't do it.
Quiet. I've heard enough.
It would be prudent. To go.
Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life.
So he fled Tallahassee on a melancholy morning in the back of a state limousine and melted into the tangled wilderness.
Why did I go? I don't know. I doubt if there is such a thing as a wholly free choice, because one's choices are rooted in one's personality. I choose what I choose because I am what I am, that sort of thing. I chose to go for reprehensible reasons, like the lure of unearned gain, and from the vanity that I might, against all odds, tame the dragon and sort out the bushy crime family feuds peacefully. Greed and pride. Powerful spurs, masquerading as prudent financial management and altruistic good works.
This is just the kind of heroism the governor loves to attach himself to.
That's my boy.
A cold foreboding curled within Chet's gut.
There, I thought to myself, I probably just impulsively set himself on a high road to failure.
I was bombarded with criticism over the perceptions this exchange created. In any event, perhaps I did not care.
That's my dad.
The day came when George could walk again. This is George.
The green light and the glossy patches of sunshine played over their befouled bodies.
The man with the big yellow hat was watching George.
Jack nudged George with his shoe.
Awooga!
Nothing.
Rise and shine.
They picked him up and shook him. But they could not wake him up. He was so fast asleep that finally... they had to... and it had all started out so nicely. If only he had not been so curious, he could have had a lot of fun. Now, it was too late. Now the lights went out.
Moments later, regaining consciousness, George found himself in a fetal ball on a mossy patch of ground. His throat and arms still burned from the dog collar's jolt. Opening his eyes, George heard a voice as deep as thunder. I should kill you.
What kind of awful...
George was bound with a corroded tow truck chain to the buttonwood tree. He was caked with soggy leaves, mulch, and dried blood. His cheap suit was filthy and torn. During the struggle, Jack had made him dig a short trench with his mandible, so his maw was full of stones and loose soil, like a planter. In addition, he was missing an earlobe, which Jack had shot off at point-blank range.
Oh, right there! Oh, that's good!
Jack's laughter had a ring of triumph. No aspirins were offered to George. No palliative dosages of sedatives, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and mood elevators.
With the bag over George's head, he couldn't see.
Torture. It's like the Abu Ghraib prison.
What?
The Abu Ghraib.
What?
Abu Ghraib.
What?
It's funny, because
it's true.
George felt so ashamed he almost wished he were dead.
Punk ass.
The man with the big yellow hat was terribly angry.
Life's a f***ing roller coaster. Jack slipped a hand under George's chin.
What do you believe?
George was on the slippery ledge of panic.
I have no idea.
George cringed.
I still feel that way.
Jack put the pistol to George's temple and ordered him to get on his belly. Then he yanked George's pants down to his ankles.
Well, said one of the men. Ride up a little monkey, Ronco fashion.
George shouted for help.
Help!
What do you stand for? Tell me that, sir. Here, let me show you something.
And to George's mortification, without warning, the freak stood up, whipped out his unit.
Piggy, Bush, scream.
Little Billy Bugger Boy!
George was very tired. Down, down he went, grunting and squealing and trying to get away. Finally, it stopped blowing altogether.
Woefully, George locked on his heels. He felt sick.
I'm going to need the pens.
Oh, really?
Then Jack strolled over to George. Flipped him on his belly and shot a tranquilizer dart into his ass. George squirmed pleasurably.
Suddenly, his head began to turn.
Brown and Jack spoke casually.
I knew these two people
They were in love with each other, I guess. You know?
Jack nodded.
And together they turned everything into a kind of an adventure. Just an ordinary trip down to the grocery store was full of adventure. They were always laughing at stupid things. He liked to make her laugh. They didn't much care for anything else, because all they wanted to do was be with each other. They were always together. He loved more than he ever felt possible.
He slowly began to come apart.
I don't know how to take this. I don't see why he moves me. He's a man. He's just a man. And I've had so many men before. In very many ways, he's just one more.
Jack gazed expectantly at Brun.
What would you like me to do?
I just want your opinion on Brokeback Mountain.
I know what it's all about.
Jack and Brown collapse in each other's arms.
I'll gas up my hot rod stoker. We'll get hotter than a poker. You'll be broke, but I'll be broker. Tonight we'll set the woods on fire. We'll sit close to one another. Up one street and down the other. We'll have us a time, old brother. Setting the woods on fire.
Dropping his voice, Jack said,
"Thank you, Mr. Brown, for being here.
When it comes to relations, you see, I get it."
George felt a spasm in his colon. The president strove not to know what Brown was up to, but Christ Almighty, he felt sick. George's mind raced.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
He thought angrily.
Balls to the wall.
George concluded it was a nightmare and shut his eyes.
Here you clap hands and I'll start bowing. We'll do all the laws allowing. Tomorrow I'll be right back plowing. Send the woods on fire.
When he opened them again, much later, he saw that the kidnapper crouched nearby. He was feeding Oreo cookies to Brown.
Oh, I'm screaming that, you know, we need to do these things. We need all of this stuff.
Brown spoke loudly to Jack.
And it's like the old ketchup commercial. I just couldn't get the stuff to come out of the bottle.
Well absorbed.
George was more certain than ever that what he'd witnessed earlier was a dream.
If I don't like it, I'll make it up.
He thought absently. George looked over his shoulder at Brown.
Mike had forgotten the entire incident. That happens all the time. He forgets. He didn't even ask why we were spattered with blood. He said only, "What happened?"
George, what went wrong?
Don't touch me, goddammit, little Miss Psycho Bitch.
That ain't the tune you were singing back there at the Gallus.
Well, any human being will cast about in a moment of stress.
George said, shrugging.
Brown looked at Bush.
George,
he said angrily,
I take great offense to that.
Brownie,
I'm not going to sit here hallucinating. President, horse's ass.
Jack stepped out of the way so Brown could punch him into unconsciousness.
Then everything went dark.
Now it's dark.
And the next morning, he got away safely.
George had been awakened by a cool drizzle. The campsite was still. The one-eyed lunatic was asleep, stretched out in his grubby army duds beneath a tree.
He had on a large yellow straw hat. George waited anxiously. At last, George began to move. Slowly, as if in a daze, he was groping for the key for the cage. Would he reach it in time? There. He had grabbed it. The door opened. Hurrah!
Brown was asleep.
While he was unconscious, I sort of kicked him.
I bopped Michael on the head. I'll plead guilty to being a lousy husband, but I was a good kicker.
Proudly so.
George, my gut tells me this is alarm bell.
Then Mike started begging on his knees and whimpering.
Talking quickly now.
What more, George, do you want from me?
Let's see here.
I'm sorry, I am not Rudy Giuliani.
Michael wouldn't lash out at me.
Don't stare at me like that.
I told you that I'm not mad at the president.
You know, look, as I said the other day,
I put my hand up to my eye, pretending to wipe away some of the blood, and then, boy, did I clip him.
lied to me!
Michael was a sensitive boy, the type of kid who bruised easily.
Then I just walked away.
George was on his way.
For a moment, his movements were almost furtive.
Jack and Brown had awakened to find themselves out of George, as well as beer.
Oh, my God!
When the man with the big yellow hat discovered what had happened, it was too late. George was gone. Where was George? They looked for him everywhere, but they could not find him. George was hiding in the zoo, full of all sorts of animals. George was glad when they were gone. Now he could pick his nuts. As soon as George was alone, he looked around. At first, George was scared. George sat down in the grass and thought for a long time. Finally, he had an idea. A pump was what George needed.
Tonight, I'll do a goat, he thought.
It would be such fun to have a goat, but how could he get one?
No, two goats.
Carefully, George lifted the latch. George opened the gate just enough to let him out. Maybe he could tie the goat up and make him pull it. But just as George was about to slip the loop over the goat's head, something smelled good. Suddenly, he felt very hungry. He had missed lunch that day. He had a big surprise. George walked in, and suddenly he got very excited. On the table was a pot, right in front of him. Of course, George was curious.
Let's roll.
It smelled funny. George could not resist.
If it feels good, do it.
He felt he must. He tried it, and it worked. Suddenly, George felt very hungry.
Soggy monkey chow. George ate heartily, mindful of the electric dog collar.
But what next? After a good meal and a good pipe, George was very curious.
In the briefcase, George found a bottle of old granddad, porno tapes, an 8-ball of coke.
Son of a bitch, break it out, man.
And poured all the powder all over.
Jesus, hell. Oops.
George had to think of something else. Quickly, George got the blotter. Suddenly, his head began to turn. And then he saw
gentle colors overall in dim pinks, green, and gold.
The electric yellow has got me by the brain banana.
And then he saw something so enormous it took his breath away.
Hell, Jesus.
It was a dinosaur. George was not scared this time. He knew it was not real. He looked at the dinosaur and then at the baby dinosaur.
A miniature Tyrannosaurus.
And then he saw it had all turned into water. Now the room looked like a lake. And the furniture like islands in it.
What are we gonna do?
Suddenly, but that was no help. The puddle grew bigger all the time. It was an awful mess. George had to think of something else. Why, soap and water, that's what you clean up with. Then rings and stars danced before his eyes. Then everything went dark. George felt very tired, but coming down is much harder. George found a nice cozy spot to sleep under the elephant's butt.
I recognize we got an image issue.
Suddenly, he felt very hungry.
George shielded his eyes. Was this a sign?
Hey, doggies!
I got cows loose on my street from the hurricane.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Press president had neither the ambition nor the energy to be a predator in the classic mold.
If only he could go on riding like this forever.
Even with 1,000 head of cattle to keep them company, cowboys would get lonely.
The key to the mystery was the Cape buffalo, identified by an ear tag, which appeared to be caked with George's blood, like a Santa Claus hat. Mr. Ullman, a recent arrival from Copenhagen, looked out the window just in time to see a tremendous bull, Cape buffalo, galloping across his yard with a thrashing president impaled on its rack. Mr. Ullman quickly telephoned the police and informed them, as urgently as his newly acquired English would allow, that an unlucky cowboy is being perforated seriously.
Where is my John Wayne? Where is my prairie sun? Where is my happy ending? Where have all the cowboys gone?
You did say impaled.
Ah, nuts.
Meanwhile,
Azak, Azuri, Galanus, Melody, Phoenix, Paramus, and Brinkley.
Right now, Jeb Bush is eating a live puppy.
They got the smallest size space suit and all the other things he needed for the flight. Then they helped him put them on and showed him how to use them. When everything was ready, a truck drove up with a special television screen mounted on it to watch the flight. They all got on and were off to the launching site. They checked all the controls of the spaceship, especially the lever that opened the door.
Attention, you are now entering the demarcation area. No talking, no smoking. Follow the orange line to the processing area. The next scheduled departure to the prison is in 2 hours. You now have the option to terminate and be cremated on the premises. If you elect this option, notify the duty sergeant in your processing area.
So, man.
Are you certain this will work?
He's consuming the souls of every living thing he can get his hands on. If you're not constantly alert and strong, you'll lose your soul and become his prey.
Neil's eyes were wide.
I don't care what he's doing, he's just too strong. I'm afraid you must admit to yourselves that this time your hands are indeed tied.
I can't stand idly by while my wind tunnel is used for evil purposes.
Heed me, you don't stand a chance.
We'll manage, some way or another.
Jay, step back, looking less certain.
I don't know how to find the son of a bitch anyhow. You?
Wouldn't have a clue. What about the guy who did it?
Meaning? The president.
What do we do with him?
I don't know.
The trooper sounded exhausted. That's entirely up to you.
That's our business.
Maintain 120 degrees southeast.
Has anyone ever been lost out this far?
Men have walked out of the near zones by crossing the rock areas where worms seldom go. Watching for worms, huh?
Worms?
Wherever there is spice, there are worms.
There it is.
Help!
Has there been an effort to wipe them out?
Again and again and again.
Too much area to cover. Too many worms.
Streets will be packed.
If he's hiding in plain sight, he'll blend right in.
Wait a minute. He's going to do this in the middle of the city? How?
He had an accomplice. Said something about setting up Jack.
Jack?
The banners of hell's monarch do come forth towards us, therefore look, so spake my guy. If thou discern him as when breathes a cloud heavy and dense, or when the shades of night fall on our hemisphere, seems viewed from far a windmill which the blast stirs briskly round. Such was the fabric that methought I saw to shield me from the wind. Forthwith I drew behind my guide, no cover else was there. Now came I, and with fear I bid my strain record the marvel where the souls were all whelmed underneath transparent as through glass. Pellucid, the frail stem, some prone were laid, others stood upright. This upon the souls that on his head a third with face to feet arched like a bow went to the point we came. Whereat my guide was pleased that I should see the creature eminent in beauty once. He from before me stepped and made me pause. Lo, he exclaimed, load this and load the place where thou hast need to arm thy heart with strength.
The sight could hardly be worse.
The governor found himself two long-handled nooses, a loaded .38 special, and a 5-pound bag of soggy monkey chow.
My big brother George.
The monkey.
Oh, yeah.
Bad here. How do you know? What's so bad about it?
Tricky. Swamp went around.
30 yards up, maybe quicksand.
Nobody said anything about quicksand. What's your personal advice?
All walk in single line. Next 200 yards.
Rejected. Not tactical to travel forward in a single line.
The governor cut him off.
It'll be a private matter between him and me.
Shut up. Wait, listen.
For cover, he used mounds of hurricane debris, shuffling noisily from one to another. The street was empty and black and shadowless. The homes on the north side still had no electricity. The governor shielded his eyes. He said angrily,
"How am I supposed to find this guy? Which building is he in?"
"Oh, Jesus!
Shut up.
You know he's Snake."
"Huh?
Snake Plissken.
Call me Snake."
"Yeah, but I heard you were dead."
"Just a humble bounty hunter, ma'am."
"What you doing in here with a gun, Snake?"
"Looking for somebody."
"Who?"
"The president."
"You really here?"
"Somewhere."
"The man sent him in here."
"Yeah.
Something's going down. We need him."
"Yo, ouchies,
I think I'm going to be sick."
"Mind if I ask you a few questions?"
"You can ask, but we don't need it too good. Hearing aids are all in the shop."
"I heard there was a bean store here."
"All the folks around here are full of beans."
"Yeah, I mean special beans."
"If you're a cop, we don't know nothing about nothing."
"Do I look like a cop?"
"You're a syndicate, dude." "They're about the same if you ask me."
"Maybe he's a syndicate cop. We understand plenty, and that's why we're out of here."
I cried to his human shape in that great wasteland.
"Can I lay hold of them soggy bottom boys?"
"Soggy bottom."
"I don't know."
"Yeah, can someone tell Snake Plissken here to back off?"
"Never happened, baby. You see, I know something you don't know. Only got so long before Mr. President doesn't mean a whole lot."
"What? You almost had me."
"If you would like to, I will take you over to him."
The governor stroked the stock of the shotgun that lay across his lap.
"It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have, by maggot pies and chuffs and rooks, brought forth the secretest man of blood."
"You related to him?"
"Hey, woohoo."
"The answer is
no."
The governor of Florida said angrily,
"Sweep continues.
I'm a president. Sure, I'm a president. I knew when I got this thing. I knew I'd be president."
"What the hell is this?"
"The president is here."
"He just left."
"No, another one."
George started to slouch away.
"God, I hate that guy.
Son of a bitch.
He'll blend right in."
And for the remainder of that day, as he walked soggily around, everyone had pretended that he was invisible.
The president peered expectantly into the night. "Jesus H. Christ," he thought with a dark chuckle. "I gotta clear the cobwebs." Outside was black and creepy. People wandered like spirits through the unlit streets. The hazy, menacing vibe of the hurricane zone.
People were in tears. People were stunned.
"I traveled the banks of the River of Jordan to find where it flows to the sea. I looked in the eyes of the cold and the hungry, and I saw I was looking at me.
I wanted to know if life had a purpose and what it all means in the end.
In the silence I listened to voices inside me, and they told me again and again, I'm gonna kill you."
People were awakening to anger.
"What is more buckled than a pilgrim's hat? But who's responsible?"
"That white trash country ass prejudice, Mr. Charlie. White sheets and white hoods, murderer, sore behind, drunk Klan member, fool, Bush.
Damn his eyes!
Yeah!
I see it all now. I told you long ago that that mongoloid George was our nemesis. Now he has struck his final blow."
The typical hurricane victim, frantic for shelter, was forced to trust his instincts. Unfortunately, the instincts of the typical hurricane victim in such matters was not acute.
"Okay, well, what did he do then? Well, he asked God to help him win against the rock.
Did it work?
Of course it worked.
This is absolutely true.
It is true.
Where are you from?
Florida. I've been reading about that bush.
I can't believe this. All the way in Florida, people know about bush. Miss, you know about bush?
Child, everybody that can read know about that prejudiced bush. He the one who got a clan.
Not anymore.
Am I right, fellas? Yeah.
He got what he deserved, said the woman, making my apartment into a jungle indeed.
It's not my fault the job market sucks. I didn't vote for Bush.
I told him he would get into trouble, the elevator man added. He was too curious.
It's about time somebody outsmarted Bush.
Got dang right.
Yeah!
God, if I just had the chance, I know exactly how I'd bring him down. I'd break his heart and watch him cry until his eyeballs bleed.
Yeah!
She just laughs like she knows something that I don't.
You're right.
Without warning,
there on our left came the crashing bush.
Oops.
What the?
The president crashed shirtless out of the trees. He was feverish, drenched in sweat.
Naked, torn.
They stood there with their mouths wide open.
Huh?
Who's this then?
Yeah.
Who are you?
But George had his plan.
One side of his mouth wormed into a creepy, lopsided...
Yee-haw!
They half expected to hear banjo music.
Howdy. You're one of them cowboys, huh?
We used to be cowboys, too, in the old days.
I understand that.
We understand plenty.
Cowboy scumbag.
He called you a cowboy. What did he mean? What are you?
George got very nervous.
I hope you go, back to the ranch and the farms, what I was about to say.
What?
I said, who are you?
The president lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
My fellow citizens, I am Iraqi.
Say what?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How many times have I heard that before?
Iraqis are peaceful.
He undid the clasp of his pants and stood there naked.
Iraqis are optimistic.
And laughed delightedly again.
Iraqis are reckless.
And stood on his head. He pretended to fall in the grass and rubbed his rump. He clowned badly.
Iraqis are crushed.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Somebody recognized him.
Pig boy.
George W.?
The amazing pig voice, George W. Bush.
Hey.
Mr. President.
Democracy has arrived.
Bush.
President Bush.
President of what?
Your name's Mud.
This guy, anybody know who he is?
Yeah, sure, we know him.
He tried to kill our puppy. He sexually harassed me.
He made fun of my weight.
Critics who recognized me.
I knew that son of a bitch was alive.
You goddamn thief.
I respect that a lot.
You anybody car thieving sows and sows, I curse your name!
I've never said that.
Oh, really?
You can't be serious.
Is it just me or am I picking up some negative vibes out there?
Immediately, he felt the whole day go sour.
It's been a delight speaking to you folks. And don't forget, these woods are your heritage. Enjoy them and protect them. They deserve our respect. These trees are like our children.
Biggie.
I thought you were dead.
We thought you was a toad.
That's right.
Get him a drink!
Yeah, give him a drink!
You're my new buddy.
All right.
George arranged his lower jaw to accommodate the stream of coors.
Isn't this fun?
But I'm going to continue doing what I think is right for the country.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Who elected you leader of this outfit? Since we've been following your lead, we got nothing but trouble.
Well, end of my term is a long time, but I tell you, you've done a heck of a good job. I have no intention of changing.
That don't make no sense.
I think one of the things that people want us to do here is to play a blame game. We got to solve problems. We're problem solvers. There'll be ample time for people to figure out what went right and what went right.
What the hell are you talking about? One day he would assume the task of editing these fragments of his mentality into a jigsaw puzzle of a very grand design. Very disordered, of course. The completed puzzle would show literate men the disaster course that history had been taking for the past 5 years.
Man, I look like a damn apocalypse now, man. And I'm lying out on the horror. The horror.
Dropping his voice, George said,
I heard a couple of people said...
His voice faded away. Then he rallied and manfully tried again.
People, you know, said Bush didn't respond because of race, because he's a racist, or alleged that. That is absolutely wrong, and I reject that.
You're lying.
Frankly, that's the kind of thing that you can call me anything you want, but do not call me a racist.
Maybe he's not.
I know him. Look at his face. He's lying.
We saw you. They said on telly you'd done it.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
You racist bastard!
Ah! The man's a fiend. An absolute abhorrent.
You stole from my kid.
Wouldn't believe the things he did to me.
You got my brother killed, and you hurt my dad badly.
He stole my gold tooth the night he left.
And, that's reality.
Too much reality is not what people want.
Where's the communications?
Hey, man, I don't screw you.
And how?
You may not hate him, but you don't understand him, and you want nothing to do with it.
Lie down, old fella. You're dead, and you don't know it.
It's pathetic. Have you no decency?
No will whatsoever. No will whatsoever. Absolutely no honor. No will whatsoever. No will whatsoever. Absolutely no integrity. No will whatsoever. No will whatsoever. I haven't seen any citizen over there stand up and say, hey, just a second. No will whatsoever. I mean, yeah, but what are you gonna do? America is waiting for the message of some
sort. You bastard!
You're against me now, too. Is that how it is, boys? Whole world. God Almighty. Now you. Guess I deserve it. Boys, I know that I made some tactical mistakes.
You see?
My disgraceful conduct dishonored our country and disregarded our values.
Again and again and again.
Pardon me, George. You got a plan for getting out of here?
Plan what? Push, flush, dribbling.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
Oh, yeah, right. Whatever you say, pal.
You know that I will...
George looks like a fast starter.
When I have a plan that I'm comfortable with, of course I will talk to the American people about it.
George's mind raced, and half drunk, half wired.
George thought and thought, and then he had an idea.
George saw his opportunity.
If you just stick with me.
Why?
I got a plan. Believe me, boys, we can fix this thing, and we can get out of here.
Yeah, right.
Wacko.
This plan has three critical elements. First, to demoralize America. Second, to spread an empire of fear across that region. Third, to frighten and intimidate America into a policy of tyranny. And third, to wage a perpetual war against Iraq.
Oh, great.
That's not a bad plan.
The well had been thrown out because it was only written in pencil on tablet paper.
George had been held back twice for eighth grade.
I understand more about parties.
You want some fun until the rain stops? George?
Yeah, I mean, I got... gulp.
What is it you're after? He shrugged unhappily.
How about getting this debris removed?
The hurricane had bruised and gouged the swamp. Smashed cypresses and pines littered the waters.
You'd better help me clean up, George.
Levon said.
George needed to get the water out.
Do all in our power to help you.
You promise?
Gosh, okay.
No more mud. No more mess. No more tarpaulins for roofs and brick dust in the cornflakes.
We're not going to allow it.
George promised to be good. But little monkeys... sometimes forget.
But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come. Here's the deal.
George sneered and attempted bravery.
I'm confident the great city of New Orleans will be back on its feet. When that's completed, America will fund the construction of a modern maximum security prison.
Say what?
You can't be serious.
Oh, it'd be a doddle. Just chop off the slack.
Damn you!
And prison wouldn't be such an awful place.
My ass!
You're right on that.
A damn sight safer than a double-wide trailer.
Oh, that is true.
The trailer park not far from his neighborhood got blown to smithereens.
Old lady was killed.
Levon said,
it gets dark for those affected, I understand that.
Wonderful old lady.
George worked his jaw like a steam shovel. Every single trailer got destroyed. Every damn one.
Gosh, okay.
He whinnied.
Hey, doggies!
Hey, wait a minute.
What the hell is this?
What the hell could that mean to you?
Plenty.
What? Oh, no.
Uncle George, it seemed, was generously providing trailers to homeless storm victims, thanks to a massive requisition from the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Tonight I have a request. Let's roll.
Many of the miserably displaced souls who'd been living in prefab Bush Company trailers when the hurricane wiped them out would be living in a prefab Bush Company product once again. Neither the Bush Trailer Company nor the
Bush Crime Family
thought it necessary to inform tenants of the irony.
It's a long word.
Oh, you dumb son of a bitch.
He understands how devious I have been.
You've done more damage than you know.
I agree.
Levon considered his life to be officially ruined and considered one man to be morally responsible for the tragedy.
People should not forget that I'm responsible.
And
your little jokes are meaningless.
He stepped toward George and lifted him by the shirt. What kind of scum would lie to a widow? He's done things you don't want to know about. He even killed people.
Proudly
so. Murderer! Levon would know no peace until baby raper George was dead.
Yep.
Killing this redneck might even make Levon a hero, at least in the eyes of his trailer court neighbors. He envisioned public sympathy and national headlines, possibly a visit from Connie Chung.
That's possible. We're not there yet.
He started it all.
Get him!
Someone must pay. And logically, that someone should be the smirking son of a bitch, the glib thief who sold them those government-certified hurricane-proof mobile homes, the President of the United States.
It's a monster! Gallant!
Now, let me explain.
Bush was smirking and showing outstretched hands.
I went through a lot of pain and suffering because of this little misunderstanding.
George wheezed.
Somebody owes me big.
What?
You can't be serious.
No.
We're understanding more about sacrifice.
So help me God, I will cut your face.
He hadn't expected an arm rush. He stepped back, looking less certain.
Where's all the money, George?
Who said that?
George said angrily.
What ignorant, low down, slanderizing son of a bitch said that?
What do you suppose is eating George?
George arranged his lower jaw into a creepy, lopsided aperture.
It was a moment of weakness. They lured me out for a bathe, and then they dunked me, trussed me up like a hog, and turned me into a toad.
Oh, absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
And I just beat up my Bible salesman.
George went on.
And banished from Woolworths. I don't know if it was at the one branch or all of them.
What the hell are you talking about?
The hurricane hadn't actually driven him insane, but that's what he intended to plead at the trial.
Are you sure you didn't change the facts around?
Well, I...
Yeah, are you positive you got all the names and facts correct?
Well, maybe you're right, Stone.
Now that's a relief to hear.
I don't expect you to support everything I do. But tonight I kill abroad, and I cannot be trusted to keep my word.
I can't believe I stood here listening to this.
There's only one world. There's only one sea, and it flows through you, and it flows through me.
Cannonball!
At last they saw him struggling in the water and almost all tired out.
Well, that was some fun, though, wasn't it, George?
The sailors cried as they threw him a life belt. George caught it and held on. At last he was safe. After that, George was more careful to be a good monkey.
A miracle! It was a miracle!
Don't be ignorant.
We prayed to God and he pitied us.
This is ridiculous.
And we remember the words of God.
What?
And Mr. President, finish the job.
It's ideas like this that get people killed! Yeah!
George drained his Budweiser and stood up.
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is...
I knew in my private mind that the decider had been drunk.
Drunk?
Gosh, that is Good Friday, Mr.
He's not ultra bright at the best of times.
He is definitely drunk enough to go to a graveyard.
This has caused sorrow for our whole nation. And it has led some to ask,
is there any lower form of life?
And the answer depends on your view of the war on terror.
How bogus.
The mechanics of decision, I thought, were mysterious.
I figure that he's drunk enough to come to his senses.
I don't talk about wild turkey.
You don't understand.
I understand that.
A man who understood nothing until there was nothing left to understand.
Well, I have no intention of changing him.
Great.
Punk ass.
God, I hate that guy.
Just great.
You're the angel of death, not us.
I don't believe that.
Have another beer.
And not even the terrorists believe it.
It was incredible. He really believed this stuff.
Murder, use of forbidden tools, practice of prescribed rites.
George shifted uncomfortably.
I'm awful sorry I betrayed you, fellas.
That's all right.
It's awful white of you to take it like that.
George gurgled crapulously.
Isn't it not my girl?
I figure that he's drunk enough to feel black by now.
Gosh, okay.
Oh, yeah, right. George worked his jaw into a creepy, lopsided, saliva-flecked mouthful of marble.
I'm so sorry, and I'm so embarrassed, and I hope that this doesn't scare you away from golf, because it's such a great sport. I know your people, the black people, don't really enjoy the game, but I think that's because you can't get into the nice clubs, the restricted ones.
George proclaimed, his jaw jutting like a window box.
And on the other hand, your people are so good at so many sports, and maybe it's good that we white folk have a sport you guys are not so good at.
You what?
Somehow, though, I ended up reassuring them more than they comforted me.
Set yourself up as a new messiah to lull the people into even greater weakness.
Douchebag!
I'd like to see the orphans he operating for.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
I bet the United Fund don't know about them orphans.
Bushes are rich.
Well, obviously.
Money will and does buy more than you'd think. Money's for using to get what you want.
Damn straight. Jesus, I got money. I bet you do.
Whore! Wait a minute, folks.
Where's all the money, George?
Yeah, I am just a country boy trying to make some sense. But I'd like to ask the Congress, I'd like to ask the President, can you tell me where all the money went? We might not be broke, but we're badly bent.
I have money.
He has not shared the punishments.
Do what?
He does not bear the marks.
So what? George said, his shoulders bunched.
Boy, we need to talk to you.
Let's see here.
We voted for you.
Oh.
We lost our jobs because of your budget cuts, President.
I've heard your disagreement, and I know how deeply it is felt.
And we lost our home because of your economic downturn, President.
Hmm.
So I will ask you once again, please.
Don't say please, bitch!
You want to dance, bitch? Let's dance.
Who's quiet?
Vicious kicks in the unsaddled enclosure.
What's the rumbling?
The rumbling
in the courtyard.
In the courtyard.
7,000 faces are turned to the gate. What's that they're saying? Kill the traitor.
Kill it!
Kill the traitor.
The afternoon definitely improved.